Ukraine's stolen children. A new report alleges it was an operation overseen at the highest levels of the Russian government.
Up until now, we have been looking at large-scale deportation of children. Now we are looking at large-scale systematic transfer of children for purposes of naturalizing them, making them Russian citizens.
Report investigators detail the conclusions to the UN Security Council and describe what it means for international law.
This report provides significant additional information that we think supports potential charges of crimes against humanity.
Today's Wednesday, December 4th, and this is The Issue from VOA. Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
Colleagues, as I've said many times, children never start wars, but they are always victims of war.
U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Linda Thomas-Greenfield at Wednesday's U.N. Security Council meeting after hearing testimony on a report by Yale University researchers.
The list of young people murdered and maimed by Russian forces is long, as is the list of children forcibly deported. Forcibly deported. What does that mean in layman's terms? It means Russian forces have stolen children and sent them to Russian-occupied parts of Ukraine's sovereign territory, or deported them into Russia itself, where all trace of them is often obscured.
The report concluded that Russian authorities, including President Vladimir Putin, were directly involved in ordering the forcible transfer, fostering, and later adoption of Ukrainian children.
Russia's forces have assigned these children new Russian names, Russian passports, and subjected them to Russian military patriotic indoctrination programs. They have punished children for speaking Ukrainian, lied to them about the fates of their families and communities, and forced them into adoption with Russian families. In other words, Russia has sought to systematically erase these children's identity.
In the report released Tuesday, investigators at Yale University's Humanitarian Research Lab, whose work is partially supported by the U.S. State Department, said they've been documenting the findings since 2022. For more insights into this report and what it means going forward, we're joined by Yale School of Public Health Humanitarian Research Lab Executive Director Nathaniel Raymond, who was the lead investigator in this research. Thanks so much for being with us. Let's just start with the basics and, you know, the gist of the findings.
What we know now is our worst fear confirmed. Russia has been adopting and naturalizing children from Ukraine as citizens of Russia in contravention of international law through acts directed by Putin himself, which may constitute crimes against humanity. When Vladimir Putin and Maria Lvova-Belova were indicted in 2023 for war crimes, they were indicted for the crime of deportation of protected persons. But now we know that they've been transferring children from one national ethnic group to another. And the first use of crimes against humanity was at the 8th Nuremberg trial for Germany's Germanification of Polish children, which involved destruction of their birth certificates and forcing them to become German children. We now know Russia's doing the same thing by accessing three databases, one controlled by the Ministry of Education, the other controlled by a contract organization for the ministry called AnnoTrist, and the third by an NGO called Change One Life. We found that children from Ukraine, 314 of them at least, have been placed within these databases. 168 children have been placed in the databases from the 314 we identified. Of those, approximately 20%, we know for a fact, have become citizens of Russia.
And these databases are basically adoption databases. They're being put up for adoption.
That's correct.
Only within Russia, though?
Yes. they are portrayed in the databases as originating, as being basically Russian children.
Do the people that are adopting them, they don't know anything different than what they're being told in the database?
We don't know what some of the families do or do not know. For children that were initially placed separate from adoption in what's called trusteeship or guardianship in the early phase of the program, we do think those families specifically knew they were children from Ukraine. We've identified many of the families by name, but we haven't published those names to protect those families and to protect the kids.
And what are the ages of these children?
At the time they went into Russia's custody, they were as young as 2 and as old as 17. For the infants and toddlers who were in the program, they're now almost kindergarten age. Some of them are kindergarten age. For the older kids, now some of them are no longer children. It's been 2.5 years plus almost 3 years that many of these children have been in the program. And we know that one group in particular was taken just several days before the invasion actually started. And it was done with the occupation officials in Donetsk and Luhansk, working with Maria Lvova-Belova with the direct support of the Kremlin and Putin himself. The evidence in this report supports a finding that crimes against humanity have allegedly occurred. And so now we watch The Hague and we see if superseding indictments come on top of the war crimes indictments from last year, this time for crimes against humanity.
Do you have any idea how many children altogether, or approximately how many children altogether, that there is evidence of children being deported? How many in all since this began?
We don't know. That number is unknown to us. And that's why we've had to investigate this case the way that we have, because Russia from the beginning intentionally chose to violate international law by not registering these children with the central tracing agency of the International Committee of the Red Cross. And so we've had, like, guessing how many jelly beans are in a jar at a county fair. We've had to guess how many children are in the program. But unlike a jelly bean guessing contest, we don't know how big the jar is. And what that means fundamentally is we don't have a denominator of how many children went missing. And so what is important here is that while Russia was saying they weren't adopting children in October 2022, when Maria Lvova-Belova went under U.S. sanctions, she was lying. And at that very moment, coinciding with the annexation of the occupied areas, they moved the children into these databases. When they could not provide this information to the Red Cross, they could basically create eBay for orphans and allow families in Russia to take these children as if they were Russian children, all the while knowing they were from Ukraine.
Ukrainian officials had said at one point they had evidence of almost 20,000 children deported.
I think that number is low. Yes. And I think that number is low because at one point we had over 80 locations under observation through satellite collections. And back to the jelly bean jar metaphor, the program is logistically large. As you'll see in the report, we watched Russia's aerospace defense forces on large transport planes with the assistance of the presidential air wing reporting directly to Vladimir Putin move the children. And in one shot, we see buses, large motor coaches unloading children, unloading some form of individual at the time these children were being transported. And so logistically, the size of the program is significantly beyond the 314 we've identified.
Do you have any speculation as to, if you've only identified, not only, I don't mean to discount the number 314, but if it's more than even 20,000 possibly that have been taken from Ukraine, where would they be?
They're in 21 regions, at least, throughout the country. And we include a map in the report that shows that they are in 21 different regions, at least. And that's just these 314. The fact of the matter is that once a child is adopted in Russia, the parents can change the name of the child, their personally identifiable information. They can fundamentally make that child disappear. And so as we look at the effort by Putin and Maria Lvova-Belova with the Duma to change Russia's laws to allow rapid issuance of Russian passports and Russian citizenship to these children, which they did in citizenship ceremonies, many of which we document in the report. What we see is a concerted effort for them to comply with Russia's legal requirement domestically that these children to be adopted be Russian citizens, while meanwhile violating the international legal requirement to register them with Ukraine and the Red Cross.
So it sounds like it would be very difficult for the families, the Ukrainian parents, families of these children to find their children. It would, how difficult would
yes.
that be?
Yes, it may be near impossible. I was involved in a support role in the effort to reunite children who were put in the American adoption system from Guatemala during the Civil War in the 1980s. When we were able to do DNA identifications of those children who were taken from their parents, they were in their 30s and 40s. And that experience haunts me in this case, because every day that goes by, the chance that these kids are going to go back to their home communities gets lower and lower. And every day that goes by is time that these children and those families and communities lose that they're never going to get back. And so it's terrifying.
It's heartbreaking. I can't imagine what these families are feeling and going through. And I wonder how traumatic this must be for the children. And is this something a child can accept?
Well, what we see in the program is that psychologists were involved from the beginning. And so we see the involvement of psychologists aligned with Russia, who are, quote, preparing these children for adoption and guardianship. And we were able to translate the guidance given to the psychologists. And in it, there's a chilling line, which basically says that many of these children are in psychological extremis from the experience of being, and this is the most honest we see from Russia itself, of being forcibly moved to Russia. And so Russia knew in its own execution of the program that these children were under significant mental stress from what they were being put through, and used psychologists to try to legitimize their transfer.
Are they still doing this? Are they still taking more children?
We right now know some things about what we don't know. We know that children from other regions, Zaporizhzhia, Kharkiv, Kherson, some of which areas are still occupied by Russia, are in the database. We haven't found them yet. We don't know in areas where Russia is advancing in Ukraine whether they've taken additional children. We have to work under the precautionary principle that if they can, they will. And so right now, it is safe to assume that this program is still going. We have no evidence that it has stopped.
So this research that you've been conducting, it's backed by the U.S. State Department. This latest report just coming out. Is this work going to continue? Is this research going to continue?
The Conflict Observatory Program, which we've worked with, supported by the State Department for 3 years, is set to end on December 31st. But our work as the Yale Humanitarian Research Lab will continue, and on Ukraine and on Sudan and on the other areas we work. So this investigation doesn't stop.
What is the main thing you want to get across?
What I'm going to say, the United Nations Security Council is really directed at Russia's ambassador council. It's time for Russia to do what it should have done at the start of the war, which is to give Ukraine, to give the Red Cross, to give UNICEF the list of children it's taken. Because what Russia has fundamentally done is it's stolen Ukraine's children, and in so doing, it's stealing Ukraine's future. And it's time for Russia to hand over the list to help their home country get them back.
Why is Russia is doing this? What are they aiming for here?
Well, over the past few years, it appears Russia's posture and motivation with this program has changed at various inflection points. In the first phase, the focus was really about propaganda. And the children, especially when the war started going badly for Russia, were used as communication props with Russia's domestic audience to basically say that Russia was engaged in a righteous war of saving these children from purported Nazis. Once Putin and Lvova were indicted by the International Criminal Court, they began to obfuscate their actions to a significant degree. And then the children went from being props to being hostages that now, as Zelensky has made it clear that he will negotiate for an end to the war, these children become poker chips in a very dangerous card game. And that's why the international law around special protected persons, i.e. children as a critical special protected person class, is so important, because the Geneva Conventions specifically and explicitly exist to prevent children from becoming hostages in a trade as if they were POWs or spies. They're not. They're kids.
Yale School of Public Health Humanitarian Research Lab Executive Director Nathaniel Raymond, who was the lead investigator of this report. Thank you again so much.
Thanks, Lori.
And following the report's release, the State Department Wednesday said the U.S. is moving to restrict visas for five Russian officials and others it says are involved in human rights abuses in Ukraine, including the deportation or transfer of Ukrainian children. You've been listening to The Issue from The Voice of America. On behalf of all of us here at VOA, thanks so much for joining us. You can follow The Issue on X and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7 on our website at voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Lori London. We'll talk to you tomorrow.